July sequence now.
Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers. From across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAM Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAM Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
You are listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn.
And this is Kelly Preston. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
We have a lot of people watching.
Yay!
Please stand. Is Tabitha watching?
Hi, this is Dawn Reese. Welcome to Hollywood Connections, and my co-host today is
Sue Greenberg. Welcome. Thank you, Dawn, for having me. Excited.
Yes, we are so excited about the show, Drive Time, and you want to know how to make a movie? We're going to get you an expert that has 40 years in the motion picture industry. He's going to go step by step and give you the real advice. And then we have Andrew Krenz calling in. He's going to talk about his acting workshop. He's also a film director. But first, most first, we have the amazing International Christian Film Festival that's coming up in May. And I think Chris is on the line with us. And Chris, are you there?
I am there. How are you?
Hi, this is really Hollywood Connections. You know that, right?
Hey, Chris.
Fantastic. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fine.
We're great. So, Chris, tell us you're a part of the Christian Film Festival and what's happening in May.
Yes, I'm executive producer of the International Christian Film and Music Festival. Our dates this year are May 13th through 16th in Orlando, Florida, at the Wyndham Resort International Drive. And we are just excited for this year's festival. It's going to be the best ever.
Wow, how can you say best ever? Every year's been amazing. I mean, Kevin Sorbo, we've had, you had so many last year. And tell us who's going to be there this year.
This year, we can't tell you yet.
The
names
surprise.
Are coming. They have not been announced yet. But we have some big names coming. We did have Louis Gossett Jr. last year. We had Alex Kendrick came and visited us before. Stephen Baldwin has been with us 1 year.
Yep.
So just big things. Everything is getting bigger and better and better. Just lots of things going on. Plenty of opportunities to see film, to learn about filmmaking and acting. And then also music, lots of information about music as well. So it's going to be phenomenal.
That's so exciting. You know, I was just at the Women in Film last week, and I was explaining to the newbies about getting in and volunteering, and you need volunteers this year as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Last year, we had close to 6,000 people attend. So we need a lot of people to help steer the people in the right place. And get the information out, correct information out to everyone. So absolutely, we need volunteers to make that happen.
Wow, it's amazing. Also, what impressed me so much as well, I mean, I was nominated last year and got to walk the red carpet. I didn't have to interview. It was fabulous. And we sent our show in this year as well. But the fun thing is, there was a casting room. Now, tell us about that, about the people that come in and they can audition for these film directors.
Yeah, so we decided to get more actors involved, and we had directors and producers that come to the festival every year. So we decided to start doing casting on the Friday and Saturday of the festival, which will be the 15th and 16th. So that gives actors the opportunity to show their talents in front of directors. And we have actors that have been cast in different films and different projects, so it's been a success.
See, that's amazing. And I will tell you, first and foremost, when my husband and I walked in last year, you had a prayer room, and these women that were praying, I've had, you know, prayer with pastors in my church, and I want to tell you, we walked in and we had prayer over something at that moment, and we came out glowing. It was so powerful. Tell us about the prayer room.
That is so awesome. The prayer room is so, so important because a lot of people come, and, you know, the celebration is the festival is a big celebration of filmmaking and filmmakers, and an awesome opportunity to network as well as fellowship with like-minded people. But people always are going through something that's not evident, you know, in every day, and they need prayer. So we decided to do that years back to provide the prayer room. And they really have made a lot of impact on people that attend the festival, so much so that we had to get some help to help them pray because there were so many people that came through. But that is the biggest hit of the whole entire festival is prayer.
Well, a lot of people are going to want to know because there were singers. I mean, I was telling everybody that was on my show last year from Christian film directors from Amazon Prime that I've seen, like Heavens to Betsy and all these other films. Mm-hmm. I'm like, afterwards, you've got to enter into the Christian Film Festival. And
yes.
And they did. And it was great because after I had them on my show, they entered your competition. I got to meet them in person. Do you think you may have some of our local celebrities like Kelly Preston or John Travolta or, you know, Christy Alley that lives around here? Anybody?
Very, very possible. If you have some phone numbers you can pass on to us, we wouldn't say no to those phone numbers. But yeah, we try to see who we can get that would just make an impact and make this an exciting event. It's really all about God, all about spreading the gospel and helping all these folks that use the gifts that have dropped upon them to you know, honor God and help spread the gospel. That's what it's all about.
You bet. You know, that's what, and I'll tell you, that's where the airwaves, when I call it Hollywood Connections, it's bringing mm-hmm. people, you know, you can't leave. It goes so fast. Look at Jeanette just passed away from Good mm-hmm. Times, you know, and she was 74 mm-hmm. years old. Life goes by so fast. And what mm-hmm. can you do? And if the airwaves can bring more souls to God, that's why I'm here. And to help people, and so exciting. And that's why, you know, God has been taking me in this direction. I always wanted to work for the 700 Club or somebody, and I said, forget it, I'm going to do my own. So.
Yes, absolutely.
But anyways, you have a question for it, Chris.
Yes, is there a charge for that for adults, and is there for children different charges, or senior citizens too?
There are a bunch of different tickets. We start with a one-day movie pass, which gets you into
I'm still here.
One day. Where you can you hear me?
Yes,
hello.
You're live.
Okay, so the tickets vary from a 1 day movie pass, which gets you into all the films you want to see in one specific day, to a VIP pass, which gives you carte blanche to almost everything. All that information is on our website, internationalcff.com. But it starts at around $20 for a 1 day film pass.
Right. And then also, have you, because I know we always come in for media, so we're really excited about that. And then can you also let us know about when people will, you know, that have sent in their videos or their films, when will the announcement be on the date coming up?
Yes, Marty is about to put a video out. Official selection will be nominated March 1st. And nominated films will be announced on, I believe, March the 3rd. But a video is going out to social media within the next day or so.
How exciting. I want to tell you, I've been to so many film festivals, and your film festival is phenomenal. And I want to tell people, you know, get out there, volunteer, go network, get into these castings. You're an actor, you know, you're taking great classes, and that's a must. Chris, how did you start out in this business?
I started out, actually, we had a film production company with Marty, and we wanted to do something greater. So there was a film festival in Orlando that he used to take his kids to, and it was shut down. Hmm. So God kept telling Marty year after year, you do it, you do it, you do it. And he said, finally, I'll do it. Okay, God, I'll do it, I'll do it. He started one online thinking we'd get maybe 25 films, and we got 70, including some from Poland and across the pond. And last year, I think we had about 700 come in.
Wow.
7 years later. And this is year number 8. And it's all God.
It is. Oh, God. It is. And there's more Christian-based films coming. And, you know, the other thing what is amazing to me as well, you also have tables that you can sell for people. Is that still open that they can get a table?
Yes. We do have vendor tables available. Again, internationalcff.com has all of the information.
Wow, so amazing. So are you working on a project yourself? Are you an actor?
I am not an actor. I'm more a director, producer.
Okay.
And I'm teamed up with Marty, so we do all these projects together. We just finished the film about human trafficking for 24 Flicks and Ceylon Film. We're doing a private screening of that during the festival. It's called Don't Say My Name. And we found it was a idea that was dropped into the screenwriter, and we just took it to fruition. They came to us about it a year ago, and it's a finished film that's going to come out sometime next year. So we're doing a private screening of it at the festival.
Nice.
Don't Say My Name.
Now, I know a lot of people are asking me, is it just Christian-based films they can send in for next year? Because I know it's closed this year. Or is it, what's the genre of the entries?
Basically, family-friendly, clean PG-13, so no nudity, no sex, no overt violence. You do not have to be Christian, or does not have to be a Christian movie to be submitted.
Okay, and are there awards? I mean, what do you give for the winners? Somebody's asking me.
Oh, my gosh.
Something good.
Well, we have over $100,000 in prizes, as well as you get to be a part of our massive award show that's on the 16th, Saturday night.
It is like the Golden Globes. I was there last year, and we were just in awe. And I want to tell you, it is first class, and it just phenomenal. And I just want to congratulate you on putting such an amazing award show together. It was so good.
Thank you so much.
It was so good.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
What has happened is we got an opportunity to go to the Oscars, and we're still in the middle of ICFF in our early years, and we decided that, you know, God deserves the same amount of excellence, and that's what we try to do each year.
Gotcha. Now, can people, you know, send photos over to you? Are you working on any other projects, you know, for casting, or is that something that you work through agents with yourself?
Basically, yeah, we work through agents, but they can send photos. Projects are coming up probably later in the year. Don't Say My Name is already in the can, but we have other projects that might be coming up. Nothing's been announced as of yet.
Gotcha. And I do want to promote 24flicks.com is a new Christian network with a lot of film directors. It is free. Is that true? That, you know, I know I have a couple interviews with Donnie Most up there, and we're going to be sending more, but 24flicks, tell us about that real quick.
So 24flicks is basically a family-friendly form, kind of like Netflix. It's subscription-based, but it's only $44 a month, $3.99 a month.
You can't go wrong.
And you get, and it's unlimited use and unlimited viewing of all the films, TV shows, and different programs that we have on there. It's just amazing. Everything is safe for family-friendly content.
Wow. Another question that's coming in, I think I want to add, I have another film director that's on the line here in just a second. Andrew, we'll be right with you. Are you taking panelists that are experts for your event, or is that already set?
We can definitely talk to them if they reach out to the website. Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, let me put Andrew on, just say hello, because he's going to come on in a minute. Just hang on, Chris. Andrew Krantz, he is a film director himself, and also working on a Christian-based film coming up, but he also is an acting coach with Meisner and Stellar and all these amazing things here in Clearwater. Andrew, this is Chris. He's with the International Christian Film Festival. Is there anything you'd like to say, and welcome to the show?
Yes, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm thrilled. Speaking of Christian films, we're working on a project now called The Mustard Seed, about a woman who is addicted to drugs, and when she ODs, she has this revelation of seeing God, and when she comes out of it, she actually puts together a faith-based unit with the local pastor in the town, and they go up against the drug dealers, and they try to get all the neighbors together and actually form this unit to beat out the drug dealers. I mean, we're still working on it. I'm teaching classes at the Actors Academy also, and we're working on the Stella Adler Technique, Stanford Meisner, and Lee Strasberg. So we're actually getting the actors in tune, ready to work but I'm really excited about it. It's definitely a Christian, but I think that's where the whole system, I mean, look what Hollywood is putting out. Not to put Hollywood mm-hmm. down to this degree, but it's based on Marvel comics that were written in the 1930s. People right. want to see some substance. They want substance. They want quality film stuff that they can sit with their children and watch something. I mean, you mm-hmm. saw what happened at the halftime game at the Super Bowl. I mean, you're sitting there with your little kids and you're seeing something that's a little too much. I mean, mm-hmm. I love the talent, the work involved, but it's a little too much. And I think that the country itself is looking for wholesome movies. And I think the Christian-based film market is way to go. And that's why we're working on this project called The Mustard Seed.
Right.
And Andrew, get that out and get financing.
Andrew, yes. He also has a panel where people can come in audition for film directors as well. And I'll hook you up with the website afterwards that I think you would be a great panelist of what you do and with your experience as a filmmaker.
I have a film that we're going to show hopefully at the Future Factory next week, my feature film called Torn from Innocence. We're just finished with it now, just doing some touch-ups. It's a little strong. It deals with human trafficking in New York City, but there's a lot of, it's not family, put it that way. It would be rated R because it's really gritty and hardcore, but it does face the actual reality. And now I'm actually going to sit after the movie and I'm talk about the statistics that's going around. I'm actually going to put it in the movie at the end of the film before the credits start. I'm actually going to talk about true statistics of what's going on in this country and around the world in human trafficking. But it is a little hardcore. I mean, it's a lot of violence in it, to be honest with you. So but it's a gritty truth. I mean, this is the reality.
Right.
But it is about the human trafficking problem.
Well, maybe your film that you're going to work on, they're Christian based, you can enter it for next year as well, Andrew. And this is a fabulous, amazing film festival. And so I just wanted to connect you two guys on the air as well, kind of their Hollywood connection. And also, maybe you can go speak at his panel about the acting industry from New York and all what you've accomplished, Andrew. You'd be great at that.
I would love to. I would love to.
Perfect. Well, Chris, we're excited. And when you get a commercial, I'd like to start running it on the air because I really believe in your film festival. And, you know, I'll tell you, and the more people that you can bring for faith-based films or family-oriented films, it makes the family even stay more together. It really does. And you can see the nonviolence in the kids as well when they're sitting watching these movies with you. And I want to thank you for calling in, Chris, and tell Marty I said hello.
I will, absolutely, and thank you so much.
Awesome. We'll be at the International Christian Film Festival coming up in May, and give that website one more time.
It is internationalcff.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Chris. We'll have you back on very soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
God bless.
Thank you.
Wow.
Take care. God bless.
Okay, so that is the International Christian Film Festival. I've been there the last couple of years, Sue, and it's phenomenal. And we have Andrew still on the phone. And let's go to Andrew's commercial. Yeah. Andrew, hold on.
Hi, Andrew. This is Sue, too, your student.
She's my co-host today. We'll be right back. 106.1 FM, The Heat, Drive Time. Andrew, yes, the acting.
Hey, everybody. This is Andrew Michael Krantz with some fantastic news for aspiring actors and actors that just want to get the juices flowing again. The Actors Academy. Opening up at the Florida Future Factory right here in Clearwater, Florida, where you can learn the techniques of Stella Adler, Stanford Meisner, Lee Strasberg. Give us a call at 727-326-2467. Phenomenal classes. You'll have a great time. New York theater, New York film acting here in Florida.
And that is the man that's on the phone right now. And Andrew, I'm taking your class, and you've been patient with me. And I got a ton of travel stuff for you for my last travel show. I got two bags for you.
I need to travel somewhere because things are getting so crazy. It's just because of you. The phone is ringing off the hook.
Well, that's a good thing. Yes, everybody I meet, I give them my digital business card, which we'll get that commercial out shortly here. And they're like, wow, I want to take this acting workshop. So Sue is here. We're both taking your class.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how you doing? I missed you last week. You know, we have four new students coming in tomorrow night.
Oh, exciting. Wow.
Yeah. It's four new people. We were going to have two more people, actually six people, but two people, something happened and they couldn't make it. But they'll be in the following week. We did an audition for a film called Mirror Mirror on Sunday. And of course, as they were auditioning, I told them about the school, of course. And they were like, really? You could actually take classes in Clearwater? I'm like, yeah. And I'll have more people coming in the following week. So it looks like we're going to have to add an extra day because it's getting
Andrew, I said that would happen. Now, you're teaching monologues for people. Tell us, will you be getting into more script, you know, more movies as well? Tell us a little bit more about the teaching.
Well, the thing is I find that coming from New York, when you go for an audition, they don't always hand you a sides or, you know, like a screenplay to read during the audition. A lot of times they walk in and they say, well, let me hear you do a monologue. And that's the reality. You have to have three monologues in your pocket: dramatic monologue, comedic, and Shakespearean. And you need to have that where it's in your head all the time. So no matter what situation you're in, when they say, can you give me a little comedic monologue? You're like, oh, yeah, I have one from a Neil Simon play. And you just do it. You have to have that memorized. That stays in your back pocket all the time. And then now, and when I brought that up here in Florida, people looked at me like, what? Monologues? And you have to learn how to do a monologue. I mean, that's reality. And the first line of the monologue is the most important line. It's the first thing that they hear. And if you can't say the first line good, how are you going to get a line in a movie? So you have to have a monologue. Now we're going to move on where we're going to actually team people together, where we start moving more like into a Stanford Meisen technique, where people learn to listen to the other actor, where each person listens, and now you react to what the other person's saying. And then when you hear the other person saying what they're doing, it becomes real, and you'll see it grow. And I'm no longer talking to people as actors. I'm talking to people as characters. You're no longer the actor. You are the character. So we got to start moving into that direction now. But I'm still breaking people into actually learning how to understand the words that are on the page, getting the value of what's written, understanding the character, and becoming the character. And that's just on a monologue. We didn't even get to scene study, where you're studying like big, long scenes. So it takes time. It takes work.
Exactly.
And we're getting there. And the great thing that we do is, you know, I've been filming every class.
That's so what's great, so they can see their accomplishment.
Exactly. And come next week, we'll have it edited so that you'll see the very first time you stood up there with the paper in your hand, trying to read it, trying to get in the class, stumbling on the words, and then the next time when you actually do it and you're off paper and you actually look at the camera and you do your monologue, and you'll actually see how you progressed in the 6 weeks, and you'll be shocked. You'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe that. I'm actually doing it in front of the class, in front of the camera. And it worked.
And
you'll see how you progress.
Right, and anybody can go in your classes. It's on Thursday nights at the Future Factory. And give your phone number one more time.
727-326-2467.
There you go. Understand.
And that's in Clearwater.
That's in Clearwater, right here.
Clearwater, Lakeview, yeah.
You don't have to, like,
great
L.A.
Yeah,
I used to drive 2 hours to acting.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to actually film movies there. I mean, 4 or 5 films have already been shot there. We're going to try and turn it into an actual working studio. I was talking to one of the owners there the other day, and then we want to get set designers to actually start building mock sets and stuff so people can come in there and actually shoot their own films there.
That's exciting.
It's being redesigned. All this is changing.
Very exciting.
As we talk.
Wow.
Happening right now.
Right now. So there we go, Andrew. And stay on the phone because I have a special guest for you as well. And before we go, we're going to go to a commercial for if you want to cool off at the ice rink, one of my favorite things. And we'll be back with Sue for a moment and talk about Elliot's Tales. And then we have a VIP guest on the line. I'm Dawn Reese, 106.1 FM. The heat be discovered on Hollywood Connections. We'll be right back.
Looking to cool off in the summer or turn up the heat in the winter? Then head over to Clearwater Ice Arena, Tampa Bay Skating Academy Oldsmar, or TBSA Countryside. With 3 locations in the Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy a wide range of hockey and figure skating activities and programs. We offer youth and adult pickup hockey and leagues, skate, shoot,
like
freestyle, and public skating times throughout the day, so you will want to come back again and again. It's fun for the whole family. And don't forget to schedule your next birthday party or private event with us. Visit TampaBayIce.com for more information.
And we're back. I know we're waiting for our VIP guest to call in just a moment. And Andrew, hold on just for us for a moment.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, Elliot's Tales is a book. She won the Mom's Choice Award. My grandchildren love it, and she's got the plush horse. And tell us a little bit more about Elliot. He gives me kisses. You've got 7 quarter horses.
Right.
I love Elliot.
Elliot's a real horse. He's at my barn with his mom, Ellie, and his brother, and I wrote a children's book about him. Everything rhymes. It's really adorable. And the second book, he turns 2, and he takes baths. He goes to school, and it's very educational for kids. So they're all loving it. And
You have gotten me into so many horse movies, and I got to tell you, is Michael on the phone as well? Before Michael comes on with us, I had watched one of the movies. He's also an amazing cinematographer, and you watched it last night.
It was the best. I started crying.
Me too. So on Showtime, did you watch it? Mm-hmm. I rented it. Called Orphan Horse.
Orphan Horse. It was amazing. The little girl was adorable. And
oh my gosh, what a movie, I'll tell you. And welcome, because Andrew, hold on the line yet. We have Michael Givens. Michael is a film director, over 40 years in the motion picture business, and he's going to give you the reality of how to make a movie. Michael, welcome to Hollywood Connections.
Hey, what a pleasure to be here.
Oh, we're so excited. A dear friend I met years ago in Miami at a casting. And first, congratulations on your new marriage. That's exciting. And your beautiful wife is in movies as well.
Congratulations.
Yes, she is indeed. Yeah, she's got a movie that's coming out, any day now, called The Glorious. And she's an actor in that. And she's my right hand on everything I do.
Well, let me tell everybody and brag, because I want to brag for you. You have been on, you did what, Coyote Ugly, Celestine Prophecy. There's a list. Can you name some of the other ones besides all the millions of commercials you've done?
Well, actually, if you go way far back in time, my first role in a movie, which got cut out of the movie, unfortunately, was Raging Bull.
Ah. So,
That puts a gray beard on me.
Okay. And Angel Camouflage, I know your partner's down in Fort Lauderdale when you were working on that, and you have so many great major actors in that as well, and this is reviving, you were telling me, which I bought the movie, and I love it, and you're excited about what's happening. And then also The Orphan Horse that we watched last night.
It was the best. I love it. I'm a horse person, and it was great. Made me cry.
I'm glad that you love it. I'm glad you love it. Angel Camouflage just got a new deal for a re-release, which is wonderful.
Yay.
And one thing that's nice for me about that is I wrote it, directed it, and I was a cinematographer. And I made sausage rolls. You know, you got to do everything when you do everything. But Orphan Horse was wonderful. It was directed by Sean McNamara, who is a really wonderful, incredible director. He made that movie Soul Surfer. He also made... a lot of movies.
Soul Surfer was great, too.
Oh, yeah, Soul Surfer.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And he's a wonderful man. And John Voight was in that movie. And let's see, Val Bloom and the little girl was just wonderful.
She was adorable. She was really cute.
And the writer, I was really impressed with the writing in that movie.
That he wrote it, right?
Yes.
That was Mark Hefty was the writer of that. A super nice guy. He's actually written a few movies. He's written a few movies that I directed as well, but a really nice guy.
Wow. Love well, him. Andrew, before we get into this heavy conversation, I want to introduce you to another local film director here, Andrew Krantz, and he's got an acting workshop as well, and we're going to get into your acting workshop in Georgia. Is that where you are?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Hey, Andrew.
Hi. This is a Hollywood Connection. Andrew, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. Yes, yes.
Yes,
Atlanta, where all the work is.
Yes. So, Andrew, do you have a question before we start off as well about the motion picture business, about filming, because you're making films as well. We have questions. People are writing me like crazy how to turn a book into a movie.
Well, it's not so much how to turn the book into the movie. I want financing. How do you get your financing? That is the big obstacle.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get everything. I can get actors. I can get camera crew. I can get everything. It's all. I can get a script. I can write a script tonight. You need the financing, and that's the big hurdle. And I'm not talking multi-million dollar movies.
There's the reason why Andrew is saying the exact same thing that I would say, is because that is 100% true.
Right.
Well, how to get the financing.
Right.
Well, that's the part of filmmaking. And to be honest, a lot of people have this idea that if you take a book and you kind of push it into some slot in one side of the computer, a script comes out the other side. And generally, it depends on the type of book it is, but if you just took a normal sort of 350 to 400 page novel, it might take somebody, you know, 10 or 12 hours to read. And, you know, you can't get away with making 10 or 12 hour movies, and you still have to make a movie that's an hour and a half to 2 hours, you know, for most part. And that not only means that you have to chop a lot of stuff out. But remember, when you read a book, you're able to make the movie in your head, you know, that you see everything the way that you want to see it. And when we make the movie, it's a series of collaborations and interpretations before you get to the final images. And you got to kind of figure out what that storyline is going to be. But like he said, like Edgar said, the hardest thing is to get people to realize that perhaps this is a good idea. Definitely, it's a good investment, and they want to go forward with it because it's a business decision. It's not an emotional decision.
Okay, another question that Sue and I have a bunch of them as well. Hold on, Andrew, as well. If you had a client that had an idea for a movie, would you tell them their first steps? Is it a script, a treatment? Is it important? You know, do you find a screenwriter? I mean, these are questions that are coming into Hollywood Connections daily.
Andrew, you want that?
Oh. Well, I have scripts. It's not just, for me, the screenwriting is the easy part. I mean, I can write stories. I have a million stories in my head at all the time.
But if somebody wants you to write it for them, you know, like
right.
And Andrew, and we talked about this, and it's, you know, you can't do this for free. So you
right.
have to charge. Right. But people say, I have no money to do a movie.
Right.
So what, both of you, what would you tell them first offhand if they have an awesome movie idea?
Okay. Well, first of all, I would first caution people to stay away from the idea of going to shoot a short and then expect that short to get you the money to make your movie. It does happen.
I agree. Totally agree.
Here's what I would suggest people do. If you have a good idea for a movie, then what you do in order to get things in front of people that have money, generally people that have money are interested in how they're going to make their money back, how they're going to make a profit, and what your plan is to make that happen. Much more so than what is the story about. You may be able to get into a discussion and say an action adventure film is probably the biggest money maker that you can make, but it's an expensive movie. The next thing that you could do is to make a horror film or a thriller that you could make on a low budget, and that you don't even need to have big stars in. But here's what investors want. An investor wants a thing called a one sheet. A one sheet will have the name of the film, it'll have the main people that are in it, it'll have a very short either byline or a little tiny synopsis that's about the story. Investors generally don't read scripts.
That's a good point. Thank you for saying that, because a lot of people think they do, and I appreciate that.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't have time. They're usually making money doing some other career. And so if you give them a script and they go, yeah, okay, maybe they'll read it at some point, but they really don't. And as a matter of fact, I mean, most distributors, and I mean, you might get some bad calls on this, but most distributors don't read scripts and don't even look at film. They actually
look at a name.
Yeah, they sell names and they sell genres. And
right.
So basically you need a one sheet that has a short synopsis on it, a little blurb about who the people are and who the company is that's making it, what your plan for distribution and marketing is, and contact info. And it's on one page. That's why it's called a one sheet. And that's so that somebody that's busy making money in logical ways can glance at it and say whether or not they think this is something good enough to get into. And that's really the nuts and bolts of it. After that, you make a business plan that's much more detailed than that. And in the business plan, generally you have a top sheet to a budget. And in order to do a proper budget, there's two things that you need that you may not have. One is the script and the other is the schedule. And you will never have a schedule until after you get money. But anyway, you put those things to get together as best you can. You try to get people attached to it, but also that's a funny game. It's very difficult to get some, like a big star, attached to a movie that has people that have not made big budget movies.
Okay, question, Michael. Another one's coming in. What about a family movie? Somebody has an idea for, I'm reading this right now, for maybe a Disney, very family-oriented. What advice would you give them? And they say it's a great idea that they have, and they don't know anything about the motion picture business, nothing about budget plans or anything. What advice would you give them?
I would give the exact same advice, because Disney is going to do the same thing if you were able to get to those people. Mm-hmm. If you get to those people or Hallmark or else just the sort of people that make those sort of films, if you gave them that sort of thing, a synopsis is relatively easy to write about your idea. You don't have to have a script yet. If the idea is acceptable to, if you present it to a director or a production company and you can get that far, then, let me say one other thing about script. A lot of people in the business are reticent to even take a script if it hasn't been sent through certain channels. And the reason for that is that I've worked on about 70 movies myself, okay? I'm constantly trying to get, you know, the next one off the ground and going. And Andrew can, I'm sure, back me up on this. We're constantly having to reinvent ourselves. But the problem with accepting a script from a stranger is that if you take that script, and even if you don't read it, but 6 years from now, you make a movie that's got an element that's similar to something in that script, suddenly that person is going to put you in court and they're going to sue you. And I can't stand it. I work on a movie and somebody, an actor or crew member, comes up and says, hey, can I give you this script? It's a really great idea. And I said, no, really, I can't take it. I can't. If it's somebody that I really know and I really trust, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
But generally,
Sue has a question. Go ahead.
How do you find a good screenwriter for your movies? Like, how would you go about doing that? Depends on the movie.
If you really want to find a good screenwriter, the first place to go is to go try to contact a screenwriter from something that you like. Okay, but you don't know how much change that script has gone through.
Right.
You know, that's true. You can try, and then you speak to that person. But all you really have to do is, if you see a movie that you really like, you like the screenwriting, you can then track down, usually through IMDb Pro or, you know, off the internet, just do a search, find out who that writer was, and then try to contact him. You can always find a writer's agent or manager. That's not that hard to do.
Okay, what about this question that came in? Somebody would like to do a movie, and they don't have the financing, of course, and they don't know how to get the investors. And there's somebody that maybe, if they have got cameras, advice for them that would a distribution company, if they shot the film, would they help pay for the movie? How does that work?
No.
Okay.
That used to happen back in the dark ages.
Okay.
Back, let's say 20, 30 years ago, it was relatively easy for production companies to get a distribution company involved with them. The distribution company would make deals with companies in countries such as Germany used to be really good about throwing money into movies before they were made.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to get that done now. You can do things like raise money with your script and with who's attached to it, where you might be able to go get your tax incentives monetized. But I always advise against that, because you're going to then lose some of your tax incentives. There's many ways that you can raise money for a movie. But here's the thing. When people start saying, you know, I have this really great idea, I can get some cameras because I know somebody, I can do this, I can do that. Since film has turned into this digital age, we've gone through this thing where we have people that start doing things that they've never really been trained at. And, I mean, if you want to argue that, like, every movie that you ever see is really well made, that's one thing, okay? I certainly don't think so. But I think that the whole industry is suffering because people do not go through an apprenticed program anymore like they used to.
Mm.
And I sound like an old guy, okay? I am an old guy, but I sound like one because, unfortunately, the industry is suffering from that.
Okay.
And the chance that you, as somebody that doesn't know how to make film, is going to go make a really wonderful film that's going to make it all over the world is probably as close to you deciding And one of you could be a brain surgeon, but if you just go and get a knife and a bottle of whiskey that you can do, you know, brain surgery. You know, filmmaking is not brain surgery, but it sure seems like it when you're in the middle of it.
Well, I have a friend watching in South Florida. Hal, welcome. I see him on Facebook. And he wrote an amazing movie as well about a horse, a girl. And I think Eric Roberts, he's got that. He's listening to the show. And again, I know he's looking for financing. So I just wanted to bring that up. And it's been a couple of years for him to try to get this off the ground. Are you taking any projects on? If you see a project, actually both of you, and you say, wow, yeah, this is really good, I think I can make some really good money at this, are you open to do that?
I'm always open to do that.
Can I
say something really quick?
Yes.
I do believe that with the video on demand market is exploding, and you have all these channels now, whether it's Pluto, Tubi, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix, I mean, it's like 10 of them now. They need 24/7 content.
Exactly.
And I got to be honest with you, I've sat and watched some movies on Netflix that I can't even believe was made. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm not beating up Netflix. I'm just saying the reality is that they need constant material. There's somebody 24/7. How many times you binge watch Orange is the New Black? Okay, now you're done. I got to move on to the next project. There has to be another thing coming up. So for filmmakers, I really believe this is the best time that we can have in our lives to make movies, because you have all of these channels. Streaming is the way to go. Everybody's streaming movies. It's just to get it on the channel, you know, and that's what is the issue. Like, I have a movie, and I just got to get it to them and stream it. Go to Redbox. How many movies are in Redbox, but how many movies are really good? And the reality is that if you put a name, if I put Brad Pitt's name on a project, they don't care about reading the script, like you said. They don't care about reading the synopsis. They know they're going to make money. Even if the movie is a bomb, they're going to make their money back because of the name attached to it. But I think that's slowly changing. I think people want content. The movie channels want content.
Let me add something to that, because he's absolutely right about that.
Mm-hmm.
This industry is changing, and it changes fast. Okay, for a very long time, everything was on a big movie screen, and then the television came along, and those two guys were constantly competing against each other. The movies started getting wider, and they started, you know, doing tricks like doing 3D and stuff like that to compete with TV. And then in the more modern age, it went to DVD, and DVDs are not very big now. You know, that's not the thing. The real thing right now is streaming, and Lord knows what is going to be next. But here's the problem with all of that. Sure, if you got Brad Pitt, you can probably do something. But Brad's not going to do one of these little, tiny, you know, no-name movies. He's not going to do it. There's no upside for him. You know, at the end of the day, when he finishes the movie, if he's made it with a bunch of amateurs, then, you know, the best he can hope is that he still has a career at the end. So, you know, it's very difficult to make that sort of thing happen. But he's right. They need content for that, but a lot of those services don't pay very well at all. So if you go and decide, you know, you're going to make a $15, $20 million movie, and then you've got another $5 or $6 million of P&A, which is print and advertising to get people to go see the movie, so you've got, you know, $20, $25 million into an independent film, you've got to then at some point look your investors in the eye and say, I hope you make your money back. And that's the big problem.
Well,
and now that there are so many outlets, you know, people are able to make, you know, their movies easier, but it doesn't mean that they're going to catapult, you know, into the area of big Hollywood movies. They can, but it's very difficult. Just as difficult as it always has been.
So real quick, I'm asking Michael, would you take a project on if you believed in it? If you said, yeah, I could help you out with some financing, or I could help you with distribution, if you saw a project... Somebody's asking me, would you take it on if you had time?
Sounds like a loaded question. Yes, I would, and I've done it before, but, you know, there has to be certain things in place.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I'm very wary about getting involved with any sort of project that doesn't already have some sort of financing available, because chasing money can take years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are movies that I'm continually trying to get financed. You know, that it's taken a long time, but I believe in, and you hear these wonderful stories. I mean, good Lord, it took Scorsese with Leonardo DiCaprio on his elbow, what was it, like 9 or 10 years to get the money for Wolf of Wall Street?
I had no idea.
I think that's why
that's a long time.
I think that's why they were cussing so much in the movie.
Wow.
But that's the way it is. I'll tell you something. One time back in the mid-'80s, I was doing a movie with Robert Duvall. And he and I were sitting by the pool one day. And he started telling me about this movie that he was trying to get off the ground that was about a preacher. And it was a little tiny, like $1 million movie. And 10 years later, The Apostle comes out. And I got to tell you, there's not many people more connected in the film industry than Bobby Duvall and Martin Scorsese. And if those guys have trouble, you better believe people like we do. And, you know, I raised the money for Angel Camouflage. So it was like $3.5 million. And I convinced somebody, and it wasn't somebody that normally invests in movies. It was this really incredibly wonderful, beautiful woman that after a 40-minute phone call, she believed in the project. Now, that's extremely rare, but those are the sort of places that people need to look.
Okay,
I
know.
Go to the people that are investing in Disney films. They're used to getting Disney films. If you're just starting out, it's going to be really hard to play baseball with those people.
Okay, I know. This is so good, Michael. People are just raving of the information that both of you are giving. I know we have 6 minutes left. I got
to
do part
two. They should come to our school.
Yes. Also, I want to promote that. Sue does have a question. She has a couple questions before we go. And then I want you to promote what you're doing in Atlanta. And then we're going to bring you back on the show live when you come into the station. Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, hey, if you have a screenwriter, like, what do they charge for a synopsis, the average?
Gosh, that depends. I have no idea. I really don't. Do you know, Andrew?
No, it depends on who is doing it. But, yeah, that depends on if it's a famous person or, you know, a local or, I don't know. I have no idea. I do it myself.
You need to pay them, like, up front. What if you don't like it? Then you're stuck with the synopsis. It's like,
I would think it would just put a little bit down and then, when you get the final synopsis, if you don't like it, I'm pretty sure you can walk away. I don't know anybody that would do that.
Hal over there in Hallandale, thank you. He's saying $1,500 about he was working with. And then another question too is, what about family animal movies, horses or dogs? Any advice to that as well?
You can't go
me
wrong.
Me as an actor, you never work when animals are children. Didn't W.C. Fields say that? Because you'll never be the star. The child or the animal will be the star. Just saying.
Of course.
Yeah,
they should be the star.
Coming from an
actor's
point of view.
They should be the star, the animal.
Right. Well, here's an example. Taking a look at Winter the Dolphin, you know, that was here at the aquarium that David Yates was involved in. And then the other one was Bernie the Dolphin. How are these movies, I mean, how do they get the financing for it? Did they find investors? Does anybody know that story? That's another question that came in.
Well, I can tell you this. I think the Dolphin movie was directed by a friend of mine, Kirk Harris, and he's owned his own distribution company for a long time, and he's connected. He's very well connected, and he's got another project coming right on its heel. So, you know, he's not somebody that just started out. He's been in the business for a long time. I can't answer the other side of it.
Okay, so what is it? Can you describe? We only have a few minutes left. Describe distribution, because that's another question. Someone goes, what does that mean? So I'm just relaying.
Well, the distribution company is the company that goes and makes the deals with all the different companies that purchase the film. I mean, they usually go to film markets like American Film Market, or they go to Cannes, or they go to Berlin. They happen all over the world. And the distribution companies will make a deal with different, you know, for different films, and they'll take them with them. And sometimes they'll screen them. Sometimes they'll just screen trailers and stuff. But they make deals with different markets around the world. And sometimes they sell them outright. Sometimes, and you don't get any sort of residual. You know, like if they show it a million times, it doesn't make any difference if they show it three times. But it depends on what market that they're selling to, but that's what they do. It's very complex, and there's not always a lot of honesty. Oh, did I say that?
Wow, that's really good advice. And then also, thank you for both. I know that Michael's teaching here in Clearwater for the locals as well. And then if you're in the Atlanta area, tell us what you're doing, Michael, as being a photographer as well, and your acting workshops.
Well, I have an acting school called MGA, Acting and Film Institute, and we teach Lee Strasberg's method with a little hint of hypnosis in it. On the other side, I'm an actor's hypnosis coach. I'm a certified hypnotherapist for many years, and help actors to get through movies or to prepare for a movie, and we use hypnosis with that.
Oh, nice.
Okay, and then what day are your classes, Michael, in Atlanta? Can they come in? I know a lot of people drive to Atlanta for their auditions and everything. And what day are your classes that you have?
Right now, because we just finished doing a project, we're just starting back up. We start back at the 1st of March. We're going to start with classes again. And there are different nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, sometimes on a Saturday. But sometimes we'll do workshops over the weekend. But to be honest, I'll get a group of people together that want to do a class, and I'll then, you know, figure out what's the best night for them.
Gotcha. I know some of the locals here that are looking to have you come in and speak as well and get on some panels, so I'll definitely push that over to them as well. And now I know we have some more questions. I don't know what happened to our live Facebook feed. We might have a glitch in that, but you can watch us live right now on Tan Talk Radio Network on YouTube, and I'll be sharing that also. You guys have been both amazing, and Sue, you have more questions about, you know, I mean, anything else that comes to mind about, you know, people that are asking about making a movie?
No, I think you pretty much said it. It was great. Thank you so much. We learned a lot today, Dawn and I.
Oh, no, this is just the beginning because, you know, I wanted the reality. I had another lady, she wrote a book, and she wanted to know how to make a movie out of it. And if she doesn't have, you know, the financing for it, how do you do that? And you've given that advice of finding the investors. And, you know, Michael, you said something very interesting. I only have a minute. I was saying that there's some very wealthy people here in Florida that you were saying a little bit, if you go towards them to try to get financing, you gave me some good advice about that. Can you talk about that real quick?
What did I tell you?
Well, sometimes people with a lot of money may not want to invest in a film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. What people usually do that they trip up on is that they fall in love with their idea and their story, and they should always be in love with their idea and story. But that doesn't mean an investor will. And investors generally have a lot of money because they're smart in their field. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they see what you see in your project. And if you get to the point where you're literally talking about exchanging money, you need to try your best to make that happen right then. Because usually people that have this sort of money, they have, to be honest, they have a lot of people that are also trying to get their projects funded as well. And a lot of times, if they just see something else that gets their attention, they will unfortunately forget all about you. And that goes for anybody that's looking for money for any project at all.
So
film or any.
We have somebody that does help with financing for big budget movies. And he said, but you, Dawn, you need a big name star attached if I'm going to help you out. So I have a project that, you know, I am going to tell you that I'm trying to work on. But I know how to connect people. I know I've been, you know, in this business for a long time, you know, on radio for over 30 years. And I've met so many people. And I've seen so many people on Amazon Prime and, like you said, in Netflix, that these film directors, they have friends that have cameras. And, oh, God, he's telling me 1 minute. maybe we can go to part two on this. But, you know, if anybody has any questions, can they call you directly, both of you, Andrew and Michael?
Yeah, I'm easy to find.
The phone's going to ring off the hook. They can call me first.
Call you first.
All right. Well, guys, I know we're wrapping up here. And, Michael, you are more than welcome. I know we would love to have part two on this. People are just raving about your expertise in the business over, you know, 40 films, over 70 films. And also, and Michael, thank you so much for calling in. And remember, if you want your digital business card, text me at 727-871-7788. And thank you so much, Sue, for being here.
Thank you. I had such a great time.
That's right. Guys, thank you. Any last words? About one? Well, not really. We have 5 seconds.
Is Michael going to come? Michael, are you going to come visit Florida?
Yes, he'll be here soon. Hollywood Connections. Yay! We'll see you next Wednesday, 106.1 FM, The Heat.
Oh. WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.